Hello, I'm Dr. Dom Poritz, and I am an infectious diseases physician. For background, I am presently clinical professor of medicine at Georgetown University School of Medicine in Washington, D.C., and also clinical professor of medicine at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia. I have been president of the Infectious Diseases Society of America and the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. I currently am in the private practice of infectious diseases in the Northern Virginia area right outside of Washington, D.C. Let's review some of the history of staphylococcal infections. We have known about staphylococcal infections for many, many years. My grandfather practiced medicine at the turn of the 20th century, and he saw lots of different infections, but he had no access to antibiotics to treat these infections. In the last several years, we have been faced with many problems in medicine. And some of the problems are dealing with resistant bacteria such as staphylococcal infections. And although my grandfather didn't have drugs to treat those infections, we are now in a position where we may have used up many of our options of those drugs because of increasing bacterial resistance. There have been increasing reports in the literature and in the media about individuals who develop serious staphylococcal infections over the past several years. We are now seeing these infections that used to be only in the hospital, but now are being seen on a regular basis in the community. Reports of community-acquired methicillin-resistant staphylococcal aureus infections, which we now call CA-MRSA, have become very commonplace in the United States, and in fact, all over the world. Many researchers describe this as one of the major public health problems that we have faced in many a year. In 1963, the first hospital outbreak of methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, MRSA, was documented. In 1968, the first MRSA strain in U.S. hospitals was seen. In the 1970s, reports of MRSA infections all over the world, particularly in Europe, were reported in the literature. And in 1982, 4% of all hospital infections that were caused by staph were MRSA. In the 1980s and 1990s, more reports of MRSA infections were seen in the literature and in the lay press. In 1996, for the first time, a vancomycin-resistant strain of Staph aureus was reported in Japan. In 1997, approximately 25% of Staph aureus infections in U.S. hospitals were MRSA. Vancomycin usage increased at that time, and then eventually the appearance of vancomycin intermediate Staph aureus occurred. Serious community-acquired MRSA MRSA infections were then reported, and in August of 1999, in Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, it was noted that 4 pediatric deaths from a community-acquired methicillin-resistant Staph aureus were present in Minnesota and North Dakota. In 2002, the first clinical infection with vancomycin-resistant Staph aureus occurred in the United States. In 2003, the number of MRSA infections continued to increase, and approximately 60% of infections caused by staphylococcus in the ICUs were MRSA. And MRSA outbreaks in the community were then being documented more and more, particularly by a so-called USA 300 clone. In 2006, greater than 50% of staphylococcal skin infections seen in emergency rooms were caused by CA, community-acquired or community-associated MRSA, and the incidence has continued to rise. At the present time, the distinction between hospital-acquired and community-acquired MRSA infections has become extremely difficult, and most of the time, one doesn't even search to find out where the organism originated. In 2007, the estimates were that there were perhaps 95,000 invasive MRSA infections and 19,000 deaths from MRSA infections per year. In 2008, the word staph and MRSA became household words, and wherever doctors went, patients would follow them and offer the words MRSA and staph, and they were concerned that they had picked up these type of infections. In 2005, an article in the Annals of Internal Medicine and another article in Clinical Infectious Diseases revealed that in Houston, 76%, and Atlanta, from 63 to 72% of infections caused by staph, community staph, were MRSA. And this was predominantly the USA 300 clone. The incidence of serious infections has continued to increase yearly. So what is the reason that we are seeing this big increase in CA-MRSA? The possibilities include inappropriate antibiotic usage. We all know that antibiotics at the present time are being prescribed probably for not true indicated reasons. We also know that there has been reduced effectiveness of vancomycin through the years. And in fact, there is no antibiotic to which bacteria have not become resistant. Additionally, it appears that the community-associated MRSA strain that we are seeing has increased virulence and promotes the formation of painful boils and abscesses, which has become a hallmark of some of these skin infections. In addition to humans, veterinarians are seeing staphylococcal infections caused by MRSA in animals, including dogs, and more recently there have been reports in horses of a different strain of MRSA that has been transferred from the horses to veterinarians. And one report stated that 10 to 12% of equine veterinarians were actually carrying this strain in their nose. The nose, it appears, is one of the major sites where staph reside. We know that if 100 people off the street have a nasal culture performed, 30% of them will have staph aureus. Most of those individuals don't have any problems with infection. More recently, we know that of the individuals who are colonized with staph aureus in their nose, up to 1.5% of them have MRSA in their nose. Who are the individuals who are at risk for developing these infections? One, household contacts of a patient who has a proven community-associated MRSA infection. Two, daycare center contacts of hospitalized patients who have MRSA infections. Men who have sex with men. Soldiers. Incarcerated persons. And athletes, particularly those involved with contact sports, although there have been several outbreaks occurring in non-contact events, such as health clubs and gymnasia. In addition, Native Americans seem to have a greater incidence of MRSA infections, as do Pacific Islanders. People who have had a previous community-associated MRSA infection appear to be at greater risk for a recurrence. And, of course, intravenous drug abusers or anyone who is associated with needles, such as diabetics, will have a greater incidence of MRSA infections. The importance of identifying a Staph aureus as being MRSA or MSSA, which is methicillin-sensitive Staph aureus, is that the treatment may well be different. The commonly used drugs that we have used for years may not be of any value in the treatment of MRSA infections. So we need to be aware that our drug selection has to be appropriate. MRSA infections are associated with an increased morbidity and mortality if not treated correctly. Therefore, defining a person who has a significant infection as being MRSA dictates immediate therapy and hopefully making the prognosis much better. It has become obvious that through the years, Staph aureus has become resistant to penicillin and then multiple antibiotics. First, in the hospital, where we started seeing MRSA infections, and more recently in the community. These infections can be quite serious and require appropriate rapid diagnoses so that therapy with the appropriate antibiotic can be started. We are now at the point where if a patient who is hospitalized develops a Staph infection, we must assume that it is a methicillin-resistant Staph. And we are also at the point that when we are seeing outpatients who have staphylococcal infections, we can't make the assumption that they are simple methicillin-sensitive Staph aureus, but they may also be MRSA infections. The MRSA infections in the hospital, as noted, have been present for many, many years. It appears that the community-associated MRSA infections were a genetic manipulation of the Staph aureus bacteria that was probably separate and distinct from what has happened in the hospital all of these years. But it doesn't make any difference anymore because people in the community are being admitted to the hospital. And most of the time, we don't even try to differentiate between hospital-acquired or hospital-associated MRSA and community-acquired MRSA. They sort of have blended into the organism we now know as MRSA.